Jim, where you're calling my home. And with all I so welcome you from today on, we continue with the Chakra retreat. And some of you have heard that this is the end, it's not. It's a continuation of the Chakra retreat. We have never ended it. And this is our end for this seminar. It is a life-long project. Maybe it goes into another life. Hopefully not. Hopefully you can become qualified in this life and return back to Krishna. So there is no, absolutely no reason to be sad. That's not it. Second, internal and external purity. Third, silence. Fourth, the contemplation of the mantra's meaning. Fifth, patience. Yes, steadfastness, we do doubt and say steadfastness. So let us please now go through each element and analyze what this means. I'm taking this from Sanatana Goswami's commentary on Bhagavata, as it is from his commentary on this one, on this verse. The first was Mana Samharana. The control of the mind. What does this mean? The control of the mind is very nicely described by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. In a verse which starts with the Sanskrit word yata yata nishadati. Yata yatita means in Dutch. Wohin auch immer, in the German language, in English language, I don't really know how to translate this very nice. It's wherever, something like, to whatever place the mind wanders, doesn't mean something it wanders, you should gently bring it back. This is what control of the mind means. This simple practice has to be learned not only control of the mind needs to just bring it back. You notice, oops, again, I have this. I said, oh, this not nice Krishna conscious feeling in me. That means my mind must have wandered somewhere. It's not with Krishna for sure at the moment. So you have to learn really to bring it back. It's a practice. It's the practice of mind control. Isn't somebody a devotee in his life? Outside the practice, and of course, especially during the practice. I think that's clear. It's clear. Control of the mind. Just means that's the meaning, to bring it back. Now, there are many techniques how to do that. One is the obvious simple one that you notice. It starts with being generally alert to what is happening, to be conscious in your life, that you have to also now just register what is happening. Soon, when you learn to be a little bit observative, you can just see your mind moving somewhere. And you can see it like, oh, and you know, I won't actually want to go now somewhere else. It's something like a parent who has a little child who is extremely energetic and runs sometimes to places which are not good. I can imagine. Yes, they refer to me, sorry, your wonderful daughter. I think that she was very young and she just learned running to get to really keep an eye on her, that she would not fall off the balcony or that she would not run to a dog and a dangerous dog who would bite off her hand and you know. So you have to just see your mind a little bit like a child who runs to dangerous places and do it gently. Don't do like I have seen of sometimes devotees doing something. They go,
they become angry at their mind.
You see it in the face that they're like just fighting against someone. You don't know the evil monster and they become all disturbed. You can't end the mind with. You have to learn to do it gently. As soon as you become overly disturbed, you can't bend the mind. It's like a child. When you, those of you who have brought up children, or almost one of our children, you can take this, the young ones too serious, and then you act all disturbed, and they are disturbing. Their mind also. If you also become now negative, what did you do, you monster, you know, then mind won't take you serious. If you react with another negativity to get the mind out of negativity, like you're in the devil's circle, you can't come out. So you just dirty movie. You better get in a distracting movie. Come back.
It's interesting how our staff enjoys the lecture. Is that purity refers to external cleanliness and internal purity. It's interesting that sometimes when we start with the external
noticed after taking a shower how much cleaner it is with the mind. How it just melts and feels, especially after the morning when you wake up and in the night all of your body has worked hard to get the toxins out and they're now on your skin. And if you then take a shower, you feel light, the day can begin. Why is it so? This is so because uncleanliness is the mode of ignorance, and cleanliness is in the mode of goodness, of sattva-guna. And sattva-guna, you can, in general, you can practice all spiritual activities better. For magical activities, you need tamagun, the night, dirt, and all this. But if you want to have other, if you want to have a spiritual life, you need, you absolutely need tamagun. It's very, very necessary. You need extremely pure. And then comes the internal purity. You are not actually pure if you have just taken a shower. Because we all have experienced our mental contamination stick to us like sweat and dust sticks to our skin. No? Be very, very careful to practice internal purity. It's often more important than external purity because when you are pure inside, you will want to be pure outside. There are many sweats and mud. And the scriptures always call them Dharma, Krodha, Lobha, Matsarya, Moha, and Mada. Not these six enemies of the soul. They stick to us. Lust, greed, anger, enviousness, illusion and madness. These are the six classical things which are internal purities, impurities. It said about Maharaj Bharata that he gave up the material life like an ordinary person gives up digestive fecus, stool after having visited the bathroom. See, this example is very, very important. Although it's a little intense early in the morning. After you have visited the bathroom, you have freed yourself from a substance which is actually dangerous if it stays in the body. It says in Ayurveda that all diseases have their origins and bad digestion in the intestinal tract, you know, the intestine. So internal purification is very necessary, like regular bathroom activity. It's very necessary. If you keep things like bad feelings in your inside, it will actually be toxic for you. It will be very, very bad. It must, when you detect something is in you which is not positive for your spiritual life, you must address it. Don't be lazy. When you want to become a good mantra chanter, you cannot be lazy with purification. It's a nice point, isn't it? This example, I'm sorry. Let us call it cultured bathroom activities. You have to have external bathroom activities and internal bathroom activities. And you must give up these things which are dangerous for you. Just like this digestive matter is dangerous for you if you keep it in the body. These things which happen in your life, sometimes you are disturbed. I mean, it's as natural as digestion in the world to be disturbed. Prabhupada spoke about sadhus, that even great saints are experiencing this. And that's what it is for. We live in the world.
also in the Dutch continent.
Very much surrounded with
unknowns. Many places, there's a lot of crime in the Dutch continent. But there is something more you must take care of. Karmak, Krorak, and so on. For the devotee,
there is an ecological
garden in the heart. Think of your heart as a garden. And in this garden, there grows a beautiful, precious plant. Who knows? Garden of the heart has a very wonderful seed and plant. About the letter H. Like any gardener knows, when you have a precious plant, Amrita Garanga will be able to say he has studied forestry, there will be so many needs. You really have more heat in your garden than paradisos, tomatoes, and so on. And they're going to come again and again and again. The paradiso, you have to really water. But the weeds seem to just come. How do the weeds actually come? Through birds, maybe, who have birds dropping by wind. Water, breathing.
So the garden of your heart, where you have the plant of Krishna consciousness from, you have to constantly weed it out. And the process of weeding out is only possible by the instrument of sincerity. That's the only thing which gets the weeds out. This is Prabhupada writes about this in the Matya Lila, that the six weeds which come are put in the Nishida jar, unacceptable behavior for a spiritual person. If it can go out now, then it may be that someone invites us to a discotheque and we go to preach to the discotheque, all of a sudden we are in an unacceptable situation. I'm giving an example of maybe that's not the best example. Or, you know, devotees sometimes go to the movies, and you go to the movie, and all of a sudden they start in the movie with breaking the regulated principles, you know, and they're full color and full sound. They break the fourth regulated principle, and you are there and watching. At this moment, Krishna sees you, seeing in full color, breaking the regulative principles, and the movies are made in such a way that you are identifying with the situation. So this is not good. Unacceptable behavior. If it happens, close your eyes, close your ears, or ask yourself the question. And when you're like this, you will ask yourself the question,
material life, or by the birds, or by the wind, or by the water. Diplomatic behavior, you're compromised, in other words. That happens often in material life. I think you know, when you have a bird, you're compromising, and sometimes it's not good. And then comes jiva hinsa. Jiva hinsa is a breed which means enviousness. How often? I know very much from my family, and see, after the World War, Second World War, Germany was practically destroyed with bombs because the Germans had done such atrocities that the other powers felt that it destroyed this country so that they could grow up again. And becoming do again such a mischief, such a mess. And but the Germans are born with this very, very profit-oriented. Our fathers had this very profit-oriented mood. They had to just somehow make ends meet, earn money, and for their own benefit, they became very selfish. Germans, I mean, it's never good to generalize a whole population, but you know, after everything was destroyed, everyone was thinking for his own profit. Of course, there are other examples also of sharing whatever little you have and so on. But I wanted to say, I have experienced in our family and in my life, therefore, because I was educated. This desire to always profit from everything, that's not very nice. It's not very good because you can't become a servant like this. And most of our hearts have this desire, what is it for me? You know, how can I make a profit? Then I said, Hare Krishna, how can I enjoy? When I'm in a bhajan, how can I enjoy? You know, this, what is it for me? So you have to be very serious, watch your heart, and see what the weed grows on. Sometimes we feel that secretly we harbor some weeds. We cultivate them, like these people cultivate bonsai trees. I mean, it's an art of cultivating these trees. And we are not honest, really, not sincere. We do not want to confront really what I'm doing is unacceptable. We know it in that, and our philosophical mind has told it 50 times to us. We know what the little voice of conscience tells us, but we are really not ready to confront it. If you want to perfect your chanting, you have to learn that these weeds are in the way of your devotion. I'll show you now a wonderful picture with an amazing eye. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then you all see. Maybe Chaitanya turn as a yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is sitting under the desire tree of Krishna consciousness, which he has called from the much. Thank you very much, Dr. Gerica, for this piece of art in this reading show. It's part of this lecture. For internal purity, you have to meet the garden of the heart regularly. The instrument is really sincerity. If you wish to become a good devotee, a perfect chanting, you can do it. Now, I would very much request you to read about internal purity in the Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please note down, there is one very, very, very nice purport. It's 3 pages long. It's a very long purport. The Srila Prabhupada talks only about that. And you can find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mata Lila, chapter 12, text 135. Maybe it's good if you read the whole chapter, because it is the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, which represents the cleansing of the heart. Take notes, I see. Just underline this section where I say, please read these texts so that when you go again through your notes, it will be very nice for you. You will go through them happily and remember things, and then you have further reading with these recommendations. You will get more out of this. It's a very important verse for devotees practicing Krishna. We have to read a few verses after verse. Prabhupada says that only a sincere devotee will be able to distinguish the deed from this Bhaktivinoda deed. Now we come to the next point. Mola silence. It refers especially to keeping silent during the practice. There is one mantra chanting, which is the devotee's word, Japa Japa. Japa Japa Japa. If you know, you start, you chant, then you turn to your beloved wife. What about the pizza? Do we have kapharis? It should be Shnaya. By the way, did you make this phone call? This happens, especially. I mean, I must confess, I also sometimes happens to be off doing the handling. It happens, and there's so much matter, so much movement in the body that you simply interrupt the chanting. That's not very good. I think it's. How can you go deeper every minute you go out of depth, of the depths, and talk about these things? So mona silence also refers to silence outside the practice. It means avoid all unfavorable talking. Because so many things happen from unthought of talk. So many bad things, so many hurts, so many wars have happened from the tongue. You know, the politicians talked and went into a hot mood, and then, you know, the tongue, it says, has no spine. It's like a jellyfish. How can we say, how do we say jellyfish, please?
Medusa.
The medusa. The tongue is like a medusa. It can talk anything.
Because there is no bone inside
the medusa.
No, it is not spine. Don't you say that?
An upright person is spine.
People with spine. Don't allow your tongue. The tongue by an anatomical condition very quickly says something which is really not good. It's the biggest war of the world started because Draupadi just insulted Duryodhana. Say to your mind, just keep it quiet now.
Now comes the fourth part.
Can you still follow this?
Too many
bottles. There's a nice book by Mahaniti Maharaj. It's called The Art of Chanting, and he has a very nice chapter. This he has dedicated